too. That way I won't feel quite so lonely. So I invite you to listen to the Word of God and let it find you where you are on your journey today. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise ones took flasks of oil to burn in their lamps. The bridegroom was delayed, and all of them were drowsy and they slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here comes the bridegroom." Then all of the bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some oil, for our lamps are going to go out." But the wise one said, "No, for there will not be enough for us. You had better go and find the dealer and buy some yourselves." And while they went out, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the doors were shut. Later, the bridesmaids came also and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." And he said to them, and he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. So keep awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The trembling word of God. This text follows Matthew 24. And Matthew 24 is all about the end times. And this is why I feel uncomfortable with this. Because one, I will readily admit that I don't really get it. And two, I've seen ministers brutalize other people and try to scare them into heaven with those kinds of verses. What I do know is, if there is a literal second coming, then we should all live our lives as though we're waiting and watching in that way. In other words, make your lives matter. Wake up every day making your lives matter. Asking God to open your eyes and show you the blessings that you have so that you can live your life and not endure your life. When I was ordained, I planned my ordination 3 months in advance. I had everything organized. I told the clergy where to be, when. I had the choir organized. And you know what? I was so worried about it being perfect, I don't even remember it. And it reminded me that we can have the experience, but miss the event. And what I want to encourage you to do is have the experience of your lives. Have the experience of your lives. Live your lives open, with open hearts and open minds to other people. Amen. Now, here's what Galilean weddings were really like. And I hate it because it's heterosexist and it's patriarchal. And the woman had no say in it at all. The father of the son would arrange a marriage, and he would arrange it with another family. The woman had no say-so in this. And then, after they were engaged, the woman would put a lamp in her window, and it would be lit night and day. The son was then going, and this makes me crazy, would go and build his house right next door to the father's house. And when he was ready, when the father sent him, he would adorn himself in his bridal regalia. And the woman was supposed to be ready at any time. Well, in this text, the groom is delayed. The groom is delayed. And the bridesmaids are all around. And they go into the night with lamps and torches, bringing light into the darkness. And then there's the ceremony. And then there's a feast for 7 days. So Jesus takes what is typical for his time, and he tells people, don't be like the foolish. Be ready. Trim your lamps. Have enough oil. Have what you need to do. Have what you need for you. The church, I hope, will live our lives as if we are bridesmaids ready at any point to speak. A friend of mine who is an Episcopalian priest told me that her bishop sent a letter after marriage was legal for all people in the state, telling the Episcopalian priest, "We have not changed our stand. You do not have a right to marry same-sex couples." And she was angry. And she wrote him a letter and said, "This is a chance for the church to be a voice for the voiceless. We should be a part of that. And we should be part of that too. Part of what it means to be the church is to be the voice for those whom Jesus loved. The poor, the hungry, the sick. That's who Jesus told us to serve. The least of them are the greatest." Now, whenever things are happening in a church, I don't know if you know this or not, but when people are saying things in a congregation, it always gets back to the minister. Amen. Always. And I've heard people say, "Well, when will the settled pastor be here? We're tired of waiting. We're tired of waiting." And waiting's hard. I mean, it's my least favorite thing in the world. I was doing a wedding for a couple yesterday in Norman. Two military guys. I thought they would be on time. I got a text, and I left at 10 o'clock because I knew there was a football game. Wasn't exactly sure where this wedding was supposed to take place. So I get there at 10:30. The building's locked. They send me a text, "We're on our way." So I go get a cup of coffee, come back. It's 11 o'clock. A woman has unlocked the building, but they're not there. And we were supposed to meet at 11 because we hadn't done a rehearsal. And we were going to go through it and have the wedding at 12. 11:15, not there. 11:30, they're not there. And I'm getting pissed. They finally show up at 11:45. But the woman who was supposed to decorate didn't show up. So 12 o'clock, she shows up. And everything gets thrown together. But one of the things one of the grooms said to me was, "You don't have anything else to do today, do you?" You know how that translated in my head? "You don't have a life, do you?" And I told him, "I have about 50 things that I have to do before I go to bed. So you get your tail up there and we're going to get this wedding done." Waiting is difficult for all of us. But I want to suggest one thing. In your own personal Christian faith lives, and as you are waiting for the process of the settled pastor, that there is a difference between waiting and preparing. There is a difference between waiting and preparing. And while you are waiting for the process, I want to encourage you to prepare yourselves and prepare your hearts. Because things seldom work out the way we think they're going to. The church in Manhattan, Kansas, they had the perfect candidate. She was young. She was going to be the first female in 158 years. Right out of seminary, filled with energy. They offered her the position, and she turned them down. They didn't expect that. "This job came to me, and I took it." They had to get a second interim. They didn't expect that. There was a young woman who graduated from seminary, and she had her history professor do the ordination. It's Sue Chucky. And as it turns out, this young woman that finally was called to this church became the pastor of her history professor. Think about the ways that you expected things to happen, and they happened, but were completely different. While I've been going through this process of grief of my mom, my prayer was, "God, send someone in my life who's joyful and can help me get through this." Well, I'm now hanging out with a Buddhist monk from Sri Lanka. He's the most joyful person I've ever met. And we have a chaplain that just gets on our nerves, and he refers to that chaplain as Ebola. Yeah, that's the kind of guy I peg it out with. He says, Ebola talks to me. I'm not his wife. He should go home. Not expected at all. I never thought I'd be hanging out with a Buddhist monk when I lived in Oklahoma City. So Corrie ten Boom said, let this be your prayer. God, prepare me for what you're preparing me for. God, prepare me for what you're preparing me for. Because I guarantee you, the person who takes over for me will be very different than me. There were people who didn't like me right off the bat just because I wasn't Kathy. Well, I can't do anything about that. And the other person won't be able to do anything about not being like me, right? So we have to prepare our hearts. One of the things I'm going to encourage the church to do, starting with the assets team, is we are going to prepare a budget. And we're going to create a plan to balance the budget. There are things in the building that need to be prepared. Your hearts and your minds need to be prepared. So during this time, the scripture speaks to us today. It says, be awake, be ready. So as we enter the time of watching and waiting, don't just wait, but prepare. Amen. Think about it. Amen.